Let us bow together in prayer. May the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I want to thank Byron for his essay and for his telling of the story of that powerful relationship which developed between Phyllis Rodriguez and Aka El Waffle. A beautiful symbol of not only forgiveness, but of establishing a dialogue that has led to understanding and respect for each other. As Byron says in his final statements in his essay, and I now quote him, "It is people like these that bring me great hope for the future, and I too dream of a world in peace, coexisting with each other without any problems." End of quote. I believe that word, coexisting, and its meaning, which is to exist together or at the same time, in a second definition, to live in peace with each other, needs to become the very foundation for the world of today and tomorrow. The last week of this month, I will be attending the 2012 Global Conference of Chaplains in Higher Education, held up this year at Yale University. As most of you know, most of my ministry over the past 50 years has been a combination of serving both a local church and at one and the same time serving as a campus minister or a college chaplain. Early on, it was at St. Lawrence University, then at SUNY Oswego, where I also taught Western Civilization, and finally as the executive minister for Long Island United Campus Ministries, which serves campuses in Nassau and Suffolk. This year's global conference, which happens every 4 years or so, this year's conference will bring together 400 chaplains and campus ministers of many different faiths from around the world. And the theme is mosaics. That's one of my favorite words, you know, many colors and patterns fitting together. Mosaics in motion. Spiritual leadership in a multi-faith world. And our keynote speaker will be Eboo Patel, who I have heard and met on two previous occasions. Eboo's autobiography, which I found to be really a wonderful book, is titled Acts of Faith, The Story of an American Muslim, The Struggle for the Soul of a Generation. The book has been described by President Bill Clinton as a beautifully written story of discovery and hope. Eboo's autobiography is a remarkable account of his growing up here in the United States and coming to understand and appreciate religious pluralism. Being able to acknowledge and appreciate that the traditions of mercy and compassion and social justice are embedded in every faith, and how the need to reject religious intolerance and work for the common good is the only way that the world can avoid fanaticism and violence. Eboo Patel is the founder and the executive director of the Interfaith Youth Corps in Chicago, based a Chicago-based international nonprofit, which is dedicated to building the interfaith youth movement. He was named by Islamic magazine as one of the leading young Muslim visionaries in America. I think the message of Byron echoes the message of Eboo Patel. Coexistence. Coexistence is not the melting pot image one uses so often to describe the United States. It is the mosaic image, not ignoring differences and speaking only of our commonality, but rather affirming differences, respecting differences, finding our own life enriched by differences. I'm sure you appreciated Byron telling the story of Phyllis Rodriguez and Aka El Wafi and its very positive message. Let me share with you another story, one, however, that is not as positive, but one that comes out of the 9/11 attack. It's the story of Cordoba House. Cordoba House taking its name from Cordoba, Spain, a city which I will describe shortly. Cordoba House was the original name given to a center built at 4551 Park Place in Manhattan. And we've come to know it now simply as Park 51. It's a planned 13-story Islamic community center. The majority of the center would be open to the general public, and proponents of the center envision it being a center to promote interfaith and interculture dialogue. The center would include a Muslim prayer space. It's not to be a mosque. Let me point out that there is a difference between a mosque and a prayer space. For one thing, a prayer space may be used for other activities as well. Due to its location 2 blocks from the World Trade Center site, it has been referred to controversially as the Ground Zero Mosque, though numerous commentators have argued that it's neither a mosque nor is it at Ground Zero. The new building would replace an old 1850 building that was damaged in the 9/11 attack. The proposed multi-faith aspects of the design included a 500-seat auditorium, a theater, a performing arts center, a fitness center, a swimming pool, a basketball court, a childcare area, a bookstore, a culinary school, a food court, and a memorial to all the victims of the September 11 attacks. That name, Cordoba House, was chosen to symbolize that time in history when Muslims and Jews and Christians lived together in peace and harmony and created a prosperous center of intellectual, spiritual, cultural, and commercial life in the city of Cordoba, located in southern Spain. Historically, that dates back to the 8th through the 11th centuries. I've been reading about it in the past week and have come to realize that many important philosophers, scientists, and artists emerged from that city. The idea for Cordoba House was the brainchild of Iman Faisal Abdul Rauf. The Iman has been a leader in the greater metropolitan New York area for interfaith dialogue. On two occasions, back about 7 years ago, I was responsible for inviting the Iman to speak on the Hofstra University campus under the sponsorship of the Interfaith Council there. I have found him to be a true man of peace and one that has felt the great need to understand one another, to understand the basic faith of one another, and not to let violent radicals destroy those faith systems leading to violence. The Iman saw the Cordoba House to be similar to the YMCA or Jewish Community Center. He saw the center as a demonstration that Muslims would be part of rebuilding Lower Manhattan. The project needed to be voted on by the Lower Manhattan Community Board. The vote was 29-1 in favor, with 10 people abstaining. You may remember that Mayor Bloomberg was a strong advocate for this building. The meeting, however, became contentious. There were Muslims who lost family members at 9/11 supporting the building of the center who were booed by protesters when they arrived. And some non-Muslim relatives of 9/11 victims also spoke in support, but other family members objected to the right to speak. Iman Rauf, the chief proponent of the project until he stepped down in January of 2011, said, and I quote, "If I knew this would happen, this would cause this kind of pain, I wouldn't have done it, because my life has been devoted to peacemaking." You know, interestingly enough, a Taliban news report stated that increased opposition to this project increased support for the Taliban cause. The opposition symbolizing U.S. anti-Muslim hatred, as it was referred to in the publication. Well, interestingly enough, on September 21 of last year, Park 51 was open to the public as 4,000 square feet of renovated space. The center's opening was without incident. Visitors were able to view 160 portraits of immigrant children living in New York during the exhibit called New York City Children. And a carpeted prayer room is located in the lower level. The project's developer hopes that the new building can be completed within several years. In telling the story of Phyllis Rodriguez and Al-Qaeda al-Wafi, and the story of Byron himself, and the story of Ibu Patel, and the story of Faisal Abdul Rauf, the message is that true peace is more than the end of violence. It's more than offering or receiving forgiveness. It's more than moving beyond hard feelings and frustration or dwelling on hurts and fears. Peace is walls that divide coming down, acknowledging the other, coexisting, working for reconciliation, and witnessing the beauty of life's great mosaic, an expression of unity which is not uniformity. Jesus said, if entering your place of worship and ready to offer your gift at the altar. But then remember that something separates you from your brother or sister. First, be reconciled, and then come. And the Apostle Paul says you can have all those gifts of rich oratory. You can have the ability to see what lies down the road in the future. You can understand all the mysteries of the world. But if you lack love, you've got nothing. And then Paul describes the characteristics of love that make coexisting possible, that make reconciliation possible. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing. It rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. So let us dream of a world and work for a world, even as we pray each week. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven.